from KQED. Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Raquel Maria Dillon.
Download the My Shake app. Please do so. Let's be prepared for the next big one.
That was Governor Gavin Newsom talking about the rollout of California's new earthquake early warning system yesterday. He spoke in Oakland, where the eastern span of the Old Bay Bridge used to meet land. Part of that bridge collapsed and a nearby freeway pancaked during the Loma Prieta quake 30 years ago. The alert system, the first of its kind in the nation, sends warnings through a cell phone app called MyShake. KQED's Mary Franklin Harvin has more.
The app, designed by a team at UC Berkeley, will send messages called shake alerts when an earthquake registers a magnitude 4.5 or above, giving people precious seconds to prepare. The sensor network that feeds the data to the alert system has been in place around the state for a few years already and is so sensitive that you may get the warning
before you even feel the shaking.
That's Ching Kai Kong, one of the app's developers. While the alert system currently uses that existing network, Kong says the MyShake app will also use sensors inside smartphones.
So that in the future, at places where we don't have these traditional sensors, that we can use the phone itself, like the sensors inside the phone itself, to detect the earthquake and issue earthquake warning.
It's kind of a citizen science project, Kong says. The more people who download the app, the better its monitoring will become. MyShake allows users to report tremors from their phones. So what are you waiting for? Download the app. And while you're at it, have you packed your earthquake kit yet? For the California Report, I'm Mary Franklin Hartman.
In the city of Visalia in the Central Valley, construction has begun on the largest Catholic parish church in the country. St. Charles Borromeo Church will seat more than 3,000 people. But one of the driving forces behind building such a massive mega parish is the decline in priests. KQED's Kathleen Quillian explains.
Fresno has the second fastest growing Catholic diocese in the country. It saw 7% growth last year, and currently about 27,000 parishioners attend their churches. But the dwindling number of men entering the priesthood is putting a strain on the resources of these growing parishes. Deacon Henry Medina, with the Diocese of Fresno, is on the building committee for the new church. He says that the Catholic community of Visalia needs this larger house of worship now more than ever.
Because we don't have enough priests. We were at one time just doing about 19 masses on the weekend, and because there wasn't enough space to keep everybody. And because of the lack of resources, we had to build a big church.
Deacon Medina says that the larger facility will allow them to serve the Filipino and Latino families of Visalia with a more reasonable 3 to 4 weekend masses. St. Charles Borromeo is expected to open in spring 2021. For the California Report, I'm Kathleen Quillian.
Cal Poly San Luis Obispo is investigating another racist photo circulating online, this one mocking undocumented immigrants. There have been a series of photos in recent years showing students there engaged in racist behavior, like wearing blackface. This latest incident appeared the same week as a diversity awareness conference at the school. KCBX's Tyler Pratt has more.
The photo shows students wearing red bandanas and throwing mock gang signs with a caption that reads, "Cowboys versus illegal aliens." Cal Poly President Jeffrey Armstrong quickly condemned the photo. Then on Thursday, to kick off the conference, he unveiled the findings of a campus-wide survey about diversity and inclusion.
The results are very sobering, but also will help us move forward.
The major findings were Black, Hispanic, and Latinx communities overwhelmingly feel discriminated against and marginalized at the primarily white institution. Here's 20-year-old business major Andrew Robertson.
Like for me, I'm half Black, half Filipino, and the only other Black people I see are other athletes.
Robertson thinks the university needs to recruit more students from more communities of color. Armstrong says the school will now rethink its policies, including ally education, faculty hiring, and attracting lower-income students, all with the goal of rebranding Cal Poly as a university where everyone is welcome. For the California Report, I'm Tyler Pratt in San Luis Obispo.
While House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Democrats continue the impeachment inquiry in Washington, D.C., pockets of President Trump's supporters rallied around the country yesterday against his impeachment. From KVPR in Fresno, Carrie Klein called up the organizer of one rally in Bakersfield.
About a couple dozen people showed up alongside Craig Luther to protest Democrats in Congress and show their support for Trump's reelection.
We're pushing back because we love the direction our country's moving in. Jobs are being created at home. The economy is just bursting.
Luther, a military historian from Tehachapi, said his group was waving American flags and signs that say "Stop the Impeachment Witch Hunt." While we talked, cars honked and revved their engines, though not always in support.
You know, this is a very divided country, and I have to tell you, I have never been flipped off more times in my entire life than I have in the last hour.
Luther planned the rally to coincide with pro-Trump marches organized nationally. For the California Report, I'm Carrie Klein in Fresno.
PG&E is in the hot seat again. The California Public Utilities Commission has called an emergency hearing today to question company leaders about last week's planned power outages that left over 700,000 homes and businesses in Northern California without electricity. As part of our California Dream collaboration, Capital Public Radio's Scott Rodd reports.
Taverna Pellegrini sat empty last week as the rolling blackouts left the East Bay enclave of Orinda without power for days. Instead of serving up wine and veal cutlets to the usual dinner rush, owner Dario Hajian was busy throwing away food at risk of going bad.
The red meats, the burgers, the lamb chops, pork chops, that stuff there is very delicate. From here, we had to throw everything away.
Hajian says he ditched up to $1,500 worth of food, a substantial loss for a small restaurant. He says PG&E gave adequate notice that, because of dangerous weather conditions and the risk of wildfires, the electricity might be turned off. But once everything went dark, the utility provided little help.
I tried to get on their website to see their maps and stuff. None of that worked. It was just non-existent, you know. I called PG&E multiple times and no answer.
Now the state is demanding answers and action as the public safety outages could become the new normal.
What's happened is unacceptable, and it's happened because of neglect.
That was Governor Gavin Newsom speaking at the State Office of Emergency Services during the shutoff. He has called for an investigation into PG&E's, quote, astounding lack of preparation. And the State Utility Commission is demanding PG&E make substantial changes ahead of future outages, including better coordination with local governments and upgrading equipment in areas most vulnerable to fires. PG&E spokesperson Jeff Smith said the company stands by the decision to cut off power, but acknowledges it's not a perfect solution.
We do understand it's really frustrating for customers. We understand that in some instances, much more than just an inconvenience, that it's a real hardship.
In an effort to avoid future outages, local governments are trying to take more control of their utilities. San Francisco offered $2.5 billion to buy local power lines, but PG&E declined. And San Jose's mayor just unveiled plans to explore a city-owned utility with microgrids. Solutions like that sound great to Hajian, the owner of Taverna Pellegrini, who wants to keep the lights on next time around.
I'm in talks with an electric contractor to get a backup generator, but it's costly.
He says he hasn't budgeted for the upgrade, but the restaurant can't afford to close every time PG&E decides to cut off the power. For the California Report, I'm Scott Rodd in Orinda.
In other PG&E news, Monday is the last day that victims of Northern California wildfires can file claims against the mega utility. But as the California Report's Lily Jamali reports, as many as half of those eligible to file haven't.
When PG&E entered into bankruptcy protection in January, it cited billions in liabilities from the damaging wildfires of the past couple of years. Robert Bean had a string of bad luck in those fires. He lost the home he grew up in the 2017 Atlas fire in Napa, and his own home in Paradise in last year's Camp Fire. But it was only last week, with just days to go before the deadline, that he filed his claim against PG&E with the court.
So many people are still hurting. So many people are still in a state of confusion. It's not easy to process.
Part of Bean's hesitation had to do with whether to hire a lawyer and promise a cut of whatever he gets. He ultimately decided to do it on his own. It turns out there are many reasons that potentially tens of thousands of people who are eligible to file haven't. Attorney Amanda Riddle says some of these are misconceptions.
They think that the fact that PG&E is bankrupt means that the company has no money. People think that because they have insurance, they can't file a claim. People think that if they have not lost a loved one, then they're not entitled to make a claim. That also is not true.
The deadline is Monday at 5 p.m. If fire victims don't file by then, they'll lose out on money that might make it easier to readjust to life after the fires. For the California Report, I'm Lily Jamali in San Francisco.
And we have a follow-up to our reporting on how those fire victims are faring. The Office of Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara says after months of negotiations, 26 insurance companies have agreed to extend benefits for survivors. This means living expenses like rent, which were for 2 years, will now be covered for 3 years. Only 20% of the homes destroyed in the 2017 firestorms have been rebuilt. Lara plans to announce the extension later today.
Support for the California Report comes from the James Irvine Foundation, committed to a California where all low-income workers have the power to advance economically. Learn more at irvine.org. Energy Upgrade California, reminding Californians to use less energy every day. Keep it golden at energyupgradecalifornia.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
If you're in the business of restoring old buildings, tonight the place to be is at the California Preservation Awards in San Francisco.
We're repurposing buildings, we're restoring buildings, and revitalizing communities in the process.
That's Cindy Heitzman, director of the California Preservation Foundation. The annual awards ceremony recognizes efforts to preserve the state's architectural treasures. One of the big ones this year is the Neptune Pool at William Randolph Hearst Castle in San Simeon. It's totally glam, blue pool surrounded by Ionic columns and statues. It was designed by Julia Morgan in 1936. Even the ladder is carved marble, but over time it leaked.
Over 16,000 marble tiles had to be removed and indexed and cataloged, the cracks filled, and all those tiles had to be put back precisely as they were originally installed.
Also this year, there's a special award going to a more humble example of California architecture, a project in the Garvanza District along the Arroyo Seco in Los Angeles.
These were houses that were derelict. The neighbors and the community galvanized around this to protect these properties or these buildings from being bulldozed. So there was a real advocacy story here. And this one is particularly important because it addresses a very important issue that we're wrestling with today, and that is affordable housing.
The project lovingly restored a craftsman bungalow, another home, and a garage, creating 6 homes where there once was only blight. Check out the photos online, californiapreservation.org/awards. And that's the California Report for Friday, October 18th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Katie McMurrin and Danny Bringer, with help from Seal Muller. I'm Raquel Maria Dillon. Have a good weekend.